A topic that has been covered a lot recently is the rise of opioid abuse and the rise of drug and, I guess, specifically opioid-related deaths. We have something called the Ohio Valley Resource, which is reporters from West Virginia and Ohio and Kentucky, and that's one of the major subjects they report on is the opioid crisis. And I understand if we look at this through the lens of mental health, maybe we can find a way to help this issue?
Well, I certainly think it's a situation in need of help. And, you know, when we look at the numbers, what we're finding now is that more Americans are dying to drug overdose than ever before. And the rate is outmatching what we've seen in many other public health emergencies. When we look at motor vehicle accidents, from, you know, the peak in the 1970s, 55,000 Americans would die a year. Well, this last year, 64,000 Americans died of opioid overdose, right? So this is worse than car accidents were at their worst. This is worse than at the height of the HIV epidemic in the 1980s. And this is worse than the height of gun violence in the 1990s. So we really do have a public health emergency on our hands. And you're absolutely right that the Ohio Valley region is one of the hardest hit. Though what we're seeing now more so than ever is that this is happening all across the country. While we used to talk about sort of isolated pockets up in the North New England area or the Northeast and sort of in Appalachia and Rust Belt states, we're seeing now this more than ever. In fact, Maryland had the highest rise in death rates between 2015 and 2016. Now with the highest in the nation, Kentucky is second highest for Kentuckians each year who die due to overdose. So I think it's important for us to understand the magnitude of this problem before we really dig in and think about what could psychological science contribute to help and help people caught in the throes of addiction.
I guess my first question would be, is there a particular socioeconomic group that has more of an issue with opioid abuse and drug-related deaths, or does this cut across all socioeconomic barriers?
Yeah, I think this is something unlike what we've seen before. In general, drug use tends to affect younger individuals, males more than females, and, you know, in particular, skewed towards lower end of the socioeconomic spectrum, but not always. What's different about opioids, and we're talking here about painkillers and of course, heroin as well, is that this crisis sort of rewrites some of the rules and assumptions we've had about drug users and about how people get into drug use. Because one thing we're seeing with this is that many current users or folks who are currently caught in an addiction started when they were prescribed legally painkillers by a doctor, right? And what we look at and we see the rise in prescription painkillers used throughout, really starting in the 1990s and through the 2000s, we see sort of a pathway or a gateway. And we know when we look at data that, you know, we can predict the likelihood someone's going to still be on or still have difficulties with pain pills based simply on how many they were prescribed, how long of a prescription they got at that first visit. And so we have a crisis here that really has transcended our rules about what drug use looks like and who's struggling with these drugs. And I think that, you know, in some ways has made this crisis reach into communities and populations and maybe haven't felt the effect of it before. And so I think within that, there's an opportunity for us to really think differently about how we can approach this, how we can help people who are caught in addiction and get the resources they need to help get off those drugs and back into their life.
Well, have studies found any ways of potentially helping people under addiction of opioids?
Right. Well, one of the big things we have is the importance of access to treatment. You know, many folks, especially those caught into a serious addiction, are not often on good health care and don't often have access to the types of programs that can help them. Many others end up in the criminal justice system. Right. So there are actually some wonderful programs here in Kentucky that try to bring treatment into jails and other sorts of places. So I think we need to get better at expanding access to treatment, either through Medicaid and other sorts of expansions that help lower SES individuals access rehab and other treatments. And we need to get treatments in all sorts of environments, especially in jails and prisons, where many individuals who are caught in addiction end up in at some point during their struggles.
Has there been any movement among physicians to stop prescribing so many opioids?
Well, I think that's a major piece of this. And you know, we have to be careful because just stopping isn't always the answer either. There are many folks with pain that, You know, short-term use of painkillers is incredibly important. We see that, you know, in outpatient or same-day surgery, right? That wouldn't be possible without providing some small amount of painkillers to help folks go home after their hospital stays. What we, I think we are seeing is a change in how they're prescribed, right? Not giving 30 or 60-day supplies for a minor procedure. I think, though, you know, I think what we see here is something called prescriber education. I think medical doctors are getting more training as to the possibility of addiction. I think the scientific data now is overwhelming in support of the fact that these pain pills can be addictive, and that's something that was, you know, either misunderstood or potentially obfuscated earlier on by many manufacturers of these drugs. And so I think we have a much better understanding, and I think doctors are being much more cautious about how they prescribe it. It still can be important for people. They have a role in treatment, but they're not the frontline treatment anymore. You know, if you go in with, you know, chronic pain, this is why the American Academy of Physicians now suggests other approaches as well, including things like physical therapy, yoga, psychotherapy, in addition or instead of pain pills.
Are there some go-to treatments that mental health professionals use for people who are addicted to opioids?
Well, it's an area of controversy, and you know, there is no one magic solution, right? We know that sort of 12-step models or things like Narcotics Anonymous are quite popular. They haven't always been open to research, but they're, you know, the data that's out there is somewhat supportive, but we know that we don't have lots of wins. You know, most folks who are struggling don't quit successfully on their first time. Oftentimes, there are several relapses and repeated efforts to help. Some promising pieces that are out there, some include medication approaches. So there are drugs like Suboxone that can help folks with an addiction sort of gradually taper off and stay off opioids in the future. But there's controversy with that, and many sort of law enforcement officials and other places don't always embrace their use in correctional settings or other places. So I think we have a long way to go in terms of identifying effective treatments, but more importantly, helping with access, getting those treatments in front of the people who need them the most.